How there's no substitute for simplicity, especially when we're dealing with the things of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke in language and terms which could be understood. Perhaps they did not believe him, but they understood him. Perhaps they were unwilling to submit to his commandments, but they understood him. Perhaps what he said crossed their tradition and wounded their natural pride, but they understood him. I've often said, and I heard one of our young people repeat it this week, in regard to America's leading evangelist, it's not what he's saying, it's what he's not saying. It's what he's not saying. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning with verse 10, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, had rebuked the disciples of our Lord because they went contrary to some religious traditions. And our Lord rebuked the Pharisees when he declared in Matthew 15, verse 10, "Hear and understand. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man." And then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" They heard it, and they understood it. They understood exactly what he was saying. They didn't like it. They didn't believe it. They didn't submit to it, but they understood it. He offended them. Paul said that the gospel is offensive. And when we preach the gospel, we're going to offend. We're going to offend the hypocrite. We're going to offend the religious Pharisee. And it's impossible, he declared, to preach the cross without offense. It can't be done. You can preach works without offense, but not the cross. You'll turn to John chapter 10. These people did not believe Christ. They were unwilling to submit to Christ. What he said crossed their tradition and offended their pride, but what I'm saying is they understood what he was saying. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. And then they took up stones to stone him. And he said, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" They answered, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They understood him, didn't they? Jesus Christ is saying, "I'm God." There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they understood that. Instead, they didn't believe it, but they understood it. They understood it enough to grow angry enough to kill him. And then if you'll turn to Luke chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 28. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28. "And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things," they didn't believe them. They wouldn't receive them. They wouldn't submit to them. But they heard them. And they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might murder him. They heard him, and they understood what he was saying. He was declaring that God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, that he owes man nothing. He said there were many widows in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, but God fed none of them. except a Gentile woman. And there were many lepers in the day in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, but God healed none of them. He sent the prophet unto Naaman, a Syrian. And they heard him, and they understood exactly what he was saying, and they grew angry, and they were filled with wrath. Now the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, said, I do not confuse or complicate or frustrate the gospel of God. If righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Paul is saying here, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to make it so plain. I'm going to sound a clear note. I'm going to declare this message so it cannot be misunderstood. I'm not going to confuse the grace of God. I'm not going to confound it and complicate it and frustrate it and send you out wondering exactly what I said. I cannot make you believe it, but I can make you understand it. I cannot make you submit to Christ and submit to the cross and submit to substitution and submit to sovereignty, but I can make you understand it. And I cannot make you surrender your religious traditions. I cannot make you give up being a Baptist first and a believer second. But I make you understand that that's a lost man's tradition. I cannot make you give up your Catholicism or your Methodism or your Nazareneism or some other kind of ism, but I make you see where salvation is not in the church, it's in Christ. I make you understand that. Although I cannot make you give up your tradition at all, we can see that men understand what we're saying. Christ did. They understood him. They grew angry with him. They would have stoned him. They would have cast him off a cliff. But he didn't confuse the issue. He made it plain. Now, I don't know, my friend, if you'll ever repent. But I do know, except you repent, you'll perish. And that's as clear as God's word can make it. I don't know if you ever will repent. You may never repent. You may go to hell unwarned and unawakened and unregenerated and a rebel against God. But I do know that only those who repent are saved. I don't know if your heart will ever be broken. God may never break your heart. You may keep that old double, stony, divided heart till you take it to the grave. But I know that God saveth such as be of a broken heart. That's clear in the Word of God. I don't know if you'll ever be born again. But I do know that except a man be born again, he'll never enter the kingdom of God. And I don't know whether God will ever show mercy to you. He doesn't have to. God has to reveal justice. He has to provide justice because he is just. But God doesn't have to show mercy. I do know it's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he had saved us. I don't know if you'll ever believe on Christ. You may believe facts about him. You may have some limited historical knowledge of him. I don't know if you'll ever kiss the Son in affection, in faith, but I do know he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's clear. And I don't know when you'll die, but I do know it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And after judgment, eternal hell. I don't know if your name's in the book of life. It may not be. But I do know whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into hell. That's what the Bible says. We do not confuse. We do not distort. We do not frustrate the grace of God. We cannot make men believe it. We cannot make men receive it. We cannot make their stiff necks bow nor break their divided hearts. But we can make them understand. We can lay the issue out before them. We can stop them on their road to hell and confront them with the truth. And what they do with it is their business. It may be difficult for you to find the grace of God. But it's no secret where it's found. It's in Christ. That's right. It may be difficult for you and you and you to find the grace of God. You may never find it. But it's no secret where it's found. It's in Christ. That's where the grace of God is. The love of God's in Christ. The mercy of God's in Christ. The salvation of God's in Christ. Life is in Christ. Everything's in Him. He's the source of life. In Him was light, life, and the light which lighteth every man that cometh into this world is in Christ. It may be a mystery to you why God saves sinners, but it's no mystery how God saves sinners, is it? It may be hard for your pride and your selfish will to bow to the sovereignty of God, but there's no doubt it must bow. It must surrender. It must submit. Oh, that there would come forth from God some prophets in these days who were not afraid to declare the truth and to make men understand what they're saying. We're using these little old silly, sentimental, emotional, religious expressions, and they're sickening. We need to declare the truth. And if men become offended, let them become offended. When the Pharisees, when the disciples came to our Lord and said the religious people were offended when they heard what you said, He said, leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. The gospel of God's redeeming grace will be preached. And you'll understand it. I'm going to preach it tonight so that you can understand it, what I'm saying. The claims I'm making, the charges I'm bringing forth, and the remedy that I'm offering. It's going to be clear, and you'll understand it, and you'll either be saved by it, or you'll reject it and be damned by it. Condemned. Further condemned. Darkness upon darkness, condemnation upon condemnation. And verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, it says, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, he went out of Jericho. The Lord of salvation, the Lord of glory, is passing by. He. This is very God of very God. This is our blessed Redeemer. No pretender to the throne. He is God's anointed. He is God's Savior. He is the physician of souls. All else has failed. He cannot fail. This is God's man. This is God's elect. This is God's chosen ones. The prophet spoke of Him. The prophecies foretold Him, and the types prefigured Him, and He's passing by. It says He went out of Jericho. Matthew said Jesus passed by. Jericho is the world. He was in this world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not, but He was in this world. He, God's anointed, God's chosen one, was in this world. The Word was made flesh, actually became flesh and bones, and dwelt among us. And men heard Him, and they touched Him, and they talked to Him, and they saw Him. He was in this world, and He's in this world today. He's passing by right now. We are reenacting this scene right this minute. Blind Bartimaeus is with us. Every sinner is like blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, the son of his father, the son of Adam. But Jesus Christ is passing by. He's passing by in His Word. Jesus Christ is the Bible. He's passing by in His Spirit. He said, I go away, I'll send you another Comforter, and He will take the things of Me and He'll show them to you. And he's passing by, Paul said, in his minister, for his minister is an ambassador for Christ, and he stands and beseeches men in Christ's stead. So just as in that day at Jericho, he was passing by. And he is passing by today. But notice it says this. And here's an interesting thing. It says, he went out of Jericho. Oh, he was there, but he didn't stay. Will God continue to speak to you? Christ didn't pass by Bartimaeus but one time. Christ didn't pass this way but one time. Christ, this man was not confronted, actually confronted with the claims of Christ but one time. And Jesus Christ our Lord continued on his way. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He says, their foot shall slide in due time. Will he pass this way again? I don't know. This may be the last day. There's got to be a last day. This may be the last sermon. There's got to be a last sermon. This may be the last call. There's got to be the last call. This may be the last opportunity. There's got to be a last opportunity. Isn't that right? And it came to pass that he went out of Jericho. He, the Redeemer, the Savior, God's anointed. There he is. And there he goes. And it says in verse 46 here, that there was one present who was in need. Here's somebody who needed him. And a great number of people went with him, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. A man in need. And it says in verse 47, when he heard, my friends, this is the first step in any man's salvation. This is the first step. It's when he hears either the law of God or the gospel of God, either the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit or the calling voice of the Holy Spirit. But any man's first step toward heaven is when his ear for the first time is tuned to the gospel. This man heard. Now, not just any voice. Too many people are listening to the wrong voice. Eve listened to Satan. And you know the result. Adam listened to Eve. Judas listened to the chief priest. But this man heard Christ. And he began to cry. Look at the next line. And he began to cry out. No cold religion here. No cold formalism here. No cold fatalism here. No turning to men. No turning to form. No turning to creed. No turning to the law. He began to cry out, Jesus! Somebody said, it's the Lord. He said, who is that? They said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He sought the Lord. How many times in the Word of God does it declare, seek ye the Lord? My friends, the Bible doesn't command us to seek peace. It commands us to seek the Lord. If you have the Lord, you have peace. You can't have peace without the Lord. The Bible doesn't command us to seek heaven. It says, seek the Lord. The Bible doesn't command us to seek eternal life. It's seek the Lord. If you have the Lord, you have peace. You have rest. You have heaven. You have eternal life. This man began to cry for the right thing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He chose the right approach. It was not justice he sought, but mercy. We don't want justice. We want mercy. Mercy. He heard, and he cried, and he began to cry for the right thing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy have mercy. This is what the publican prayed for in the temple. Lord, be merciful. Be merciful unto me, the sinner. Now notice the next verse. It was a determined cry. And the next verse said, many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now he got no help from those about him. I may wound you a little bit here, but I want you to listen to me. If you ever get serious about your relationship with God, if you ever get serious about your soul salvation, I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die. Everybody's going there, they tell me. I'm not talking about if you get interested in church work. Everybody's a church worker. I'm not talking about if you get interested in the Jesus movement. There are a lot of people interested in that. But if you ever get serious, dead serious, cold dead serious, about your relationship with God, about your soul's condition, and you ever begin to seek the Lord in a saving relationship, not many people do, but if you ever do, you're going to get no help from those about you. You'll be hindered. And I'm telling you the truth. First of all, Satan will hinder you. I've had people come here to hear the gospel, and I thought they were interested in the gospel. They said, that's a good message. Never heard it like that before. And they began to manifest some kind of interest. But then they can't make it out anymore. All these different things began to come up, and they can't go to church. Now, Satan's not going to pave the way for you to go hear the gospel. You can put that down. He's going to hinder you. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind, sitting in darkness. A beggar sitting in his rags. He's just like the rest of that outfit, and they wanted him to stay that way. They were beggars, and they wanted him to be a beggar. They were blind, they wanted him to stay blind. They were dead, and they wanted him to stay dead. They were going to hell, and that's where they wanted him to go. And he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, help me, have mercy. And they said, hush, hush. He's not going to pay attention to you. You're wasting your time. Satan's going to hinder you. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you out from the sound of the gospel. He'll send your relatives to visit you on the Lord's Day. He'll make Grandma sick on Saturday night about 1 o'clock so you can't make it to Sunday school. Because Satan's not in the business of bringing men to Christ. He's in the business of keeping them away from Christ. And that's what these folks, he cried out and they said, hush! Why, you wasting your time. He's not going to have anything to do with you. And you're all right. You just stay where you are. You're not going to make any progress. But he cried out the more, I will not be denied. Like old Jacob as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said, let me go. He said, I'm not going to let you go. You bless me. I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to hear that gospel. I'm going to camp on the doorstep of King Jesus till he invites me in or kicks me out. And that's what this fella did. And that's what folks do when they get interested in the gospel. The gospel, not a gospel, not any gospel, not some gospel, the gospel. The gospel of redemption, the gospel of substitution. When people get interested in their relationship with God, some young person will get interested in the Lord, interested in salvation, interested in the gospel, and then they'll get to dating somebody that don't go to church, and first thing you know, they don't either. Satan's not going to send you a husband, young lady, who loves the Lord. Satan's not going to send you a wife, young man, who loves Christ. He's going to send you somebody to wean you away from those things. Exactly. Exactly. Hush, they said. He cried out, hush! Nobody helped him. And nobody's going to help you either. He's going to offend you. He's going to wound you. He's going to cast stumbling blocks in your way. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you out from under the gospel. But this man cried out the more. He would not be denied. He cried out a great deal more. Thou son of David! How many times he said it, I don't know. But here he said it twice. He kept crying. Have mercy on me. And verse 49 says, and Jesus stood still. I can't guarantee you God will save you. But I can guarantee you this. He's not going to save you if you don't seek him. I can't guarantee you God will save you. But I can guarantee you this. He's not going to save you unless you call on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This man kept calling, and Jesus stood still. Somebody said the voice that stops the Lord Jesus Christ is the voice who cries out of a sincere need and out of a broken heart. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Over 160 times in the Scriptures, the redeemed are referred to as the called. 160 times. They are the called of Christ Jesus. They're the called of God. They're called out of darkness. As many as the Lord our God shall call, whom he called, he justified. Oh, how sweet to hear the voice of him who calls. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Not with a passing fancy, but with a permanent dwelling of God in the heart. Christ said, my Father and I will come in and take up our abode. Hear this blind man sitting by the wayside, and the Lord passes by, and he hears the commotion. He said, who is it? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, thou son of David. Thou art the sovereign king. Thou art the promised Messiah. Thou art the Lord. Thou art the anointed. Have mercy on me. And people began to put stumbling blocks in his way. They began to try to misdirect his attention. They tried to turn his attention away to something else. And he kept crying, Lord, this is my only hope. Have mercy on me. The Lord Jesus Christ stood still and he called him. And he called him. And they called the blind man and said, be of good cheer. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. And verse 50 said, and he, casting away his garments, arose and came to Jesus. Shall he call and I not respond? Shall he invite and I not accept? I've been seeking him. Shall he give and I not receive? This is what I need. This is what I cried for. This is what I sought. Mercy. Mercy. The forgiveness of my sin. The restoring of my sight. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It was battered and scarred. And the auctioneer thought it not worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. So he held it up with a smile and he said, what am I bid, good folk? Who'll start the bidding for me? $1? $2? Somebody make it $3. Going once, going twice,
But no, from the room far back, a white-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, and he tightened the loosened strings, and then he played a melody as pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. And then the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, "What am I bid now for the old violin?" He held it up with the bow. "1,000, 2,000, who'll make it 3,000, going once, going twice, going gone," cried he. And the people cheered. But some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed the worth of that old violin?" And he said, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned off by a foolish crowd, just like that old violin. A drink, a fall, and he stumbles, and he's almost gone. And then the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the change that's wrought in a sinner's heart by the touch of the master's hand. I can't make you believe that. I cannot make you receive him. And I cannot make you direct your attention to him. And I cannot make you lay down these playthings. And I cannot make you turn from your tradition. And I cannot make you turn from worshiping your denomination. And I cannot make you turn from these foolish things. But I can tell you where the grace of God is. And I can tell you where it can be found. And I can tell you that every blind Bartimaeus who sits by the wayside, naked, diseased, broken, sinful, and blind, who hears the voice of the Son of God speaking through his word, and who cries out to Christ, "I'm in need, I'm unable to help myself, I'm broken, I'm deserted." And when you begin to cry like that, when you begin to seek the Lord, when you begin to seek a real saving relationship with him, I guarantee you this, if your mom and papa don't know the Lord, they'll try to keep you from knowing him. And if your friends don't know Christ in a saving relationship, they'll try to keep you away from him. And they'll do it every way under the sun. They'll deny there's anything to what you believe. They'll deny that there's anything to God's sovereignty. They'll deny there's anything wrong with their tradition. They'll put every stumbling block they know in your way. Your friend's will, your family will, your loved one's will, your sweetheart will, and the devil will. He'll do everything in his power to leave. Now just hush, you're all right. Don't get excited. You're all right. But this man wouldn't let him do that to him. He kept on crying, "Lord, and nobody can help me but you. There's nobody's blood that can cleanse my guilt but yours. There's nobody's death that can satisfy a holy law but yours. And Lord, I'm not going to quit till you answer me. And I'm not going to let you go. You bless me. And I'm not going to turn from this way of seeking till you touch me. I'm not going to stop crying till you call me. I've got to know you. And I believe if you ever get dead serious about this, like blind Bartimaeus, I believe you'll hear him say, 'Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And when you do, they can laugh all they want to, because you've got something that they don't have. And you know something they don't know. And they can ridicule and find fault, but I'll guarantee you, if you ever come not to a religious experience, but to a real living relationship with Christ, you'll never lose it, you'll never leave it, and it can never be taken from you. Nothing this side of heaven or hell, or on the other side either, can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. The foolish crowd never can quite understand the change that's wrought in a sinner's heart by the touch of the Master's hand. Our Father in heaven, let the potsherds of this earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. But, oh God, don't let us be so foolish as to strive with our Maker. Let men toy with the playthings of this world and argue about them and reason about them. But don't let us toy with our souls, with our eternal relationship with Thee. Heaven's a long time, and so is hell. Eternity hath no end. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? If I gain the esteem of this world, if I gain the pleasures of the flesh, if I gain the happinesses of this world and lose my soul, and lose my soul, I want to know Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, Christ Jesus in His effectual sacrifice, Christ Jesus in His substitutionary work, Christ Jesus in His mediatorial glory. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I count all things but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Deny me not. Let the prayer of every heart in this congregation tonight be, Lord, lead me to seek Thee, and seeking Thee to find Thee, and finding Thee to love Thee, and loving Thee to never leave Thee. For Christ's sake we pray, and in His name, amen.